Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm Stone Payton, joined with my co-host, Lee Cantor. How you going? How you doing, Lee?
I am doing awesome, Stone. What about you? How was your weekend?
It was really good. I've spent most of it packing. I'm headed to London this week.
So you started packing? That doesn't sound like a guy.
Well, it didn't take terribly long, but, you know, you got to get the right clothes. I had to buy a new pair of tennis shoes. But I'll be in London next week, and we're going to have a guest host.
Oh.
And his name is Don Rigby. He's joined us in the studio today. We're not putting him on the mic. We're not putting him live today, but he's gonna watch the show today and get a feel for it, and he will be your guest host next week.
That'll be good.
Who's our sponsor today?
Today, our show is sponsored by J.M. Walker Group and Integrity Solutions. Remember, build your people, and they will build your business. And the website is jmwalkergroup.com, 770-578-1345.
You know, Lee, I am actually in the process of going through one of these Integrity Solutions sales training classes. Mark Walker's conducting it, and I do have a little bit of a warning or caveat for the listening audience. If you're a sales manager, a sales VP, and thinking about putting your people through a sales training, if what you're after is some sort of passive educational experience for your team, run, do not walk from this outfit as fast as you can. They really do hold your feet to the fire. It's a highly interactive process. And it truly is about behavior change, not just about education or knowledge. So for what it's worth, Integrity Solutions and the J.M. Walker Group certainly have the full endorsement of the High Velocity Radio Show.
Good stuff.
We've got a great show for you this morning. First, we're going to talk to a branding expert. And then after that, a gentleman is going to join us who is the CEO of a marketing automation firm. We're going to talk about scoring, nurturing, tracking, and whatever else it is you're supposed to do with leads. But first up is Steve Winokur with Turning Point Strategies, which is a branding and repositioning firm. Steve Winokur is regularly cited in leading business journals, including the Wall Street Journal. He's featured in the next issue of Strategy Magazine, which I am really looking forward to asking him a little bit more about. And I understand he has a new book coming out this spring with a brilliant co-author. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that as well. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Stone.
Hey, tell us about Strategy Magazine.
Well, I had the publisher just started this magazine. This second issue is due to hit the stands October 26th. I had met him over the summer, and we talked about the magazine and the reasons, you know, why he started it. And he had. We started talking about the growth gap, which is a service that we offer here at Turning Point. And he was intrigued by it. And his magazine is really structured to deliver actionable content to the readers. So it's not a magazine of just kind of academic research where someone can. Well, that sounds interesting, but I can't do anything with it. It really is designed to provide information to people that they can read it and then take it back to their business. So he thought the growth gap was a topic that his readers would enjoy reading about, and so we interviewed me and we talked about the growth gap. And
so, what's the growth gap? Or do we have to wait for the magazine to come
out? You have to buy the magazine.
You have to buy the magazine,
right?
Or you know, send a you know, was it $3.99 directly to me, and I'll get you one. The growth gap is. Let me back up for a second. I would imagine most of your listeners, as well as most businesses out there, one of their primary goals is they want to grow their business. Well, what I've learned is that you can't wake up one day and decide, okay, I'm going to grow my business today and just grow your business. To do that, you need to affect one of the levers, one of the five levers of the revenue formula. So that's kind of how the growth gap was formed, was let's look at the different places, at different ways you can grow revenue. You know, it's number of prospects, your conversion rate, your loyalty, how long you keep customers, your expansion gap, how many products and services you sell them, and then the margin, which is basically the price that you're able to charge for your product or services. So it allows us and allows the business to look at their revenue formula in a more detailed way to see, okay, where are the areas that we can grow to then grow our business.
So is one lever, in your experience, more important than another?
Not the levers, per se, but a lot of the tactics that you do to close one of them really work in multiple, or can work to close multiple gaps. So when you look at each of them, you're looking at where you might have problems, and I don't necessarily think any particular one is more important in a kind of general sense. I think depending on your economy and other things that are happening, sometimes you might want to direct more attention towards one. For example, the first gap, the prospect gap, is really about attracting more qualified prospects. Well, a lot of that's lead generation. Well, lead generation can be one of the most expensive gaps.
You tell me, right?
Whereas the other, you know, looking at the customer gap, which is really about loyalty and repeat purchases, that one doesn't. You don't have to necessarily spend a lot of money to work at closing. So when we go through the growth gap, we do our growth gap analysis. We're going to pick out the things that the problem areas and then prioritize them. So long-term wise, maybe you do have a lead generation problem, but in the short term, there are some things we might want to do to shore up your loyalty and to shore up some repeat purchases and some things that are relatively inexpensive to fix to help you start growing your business before we start tackling some of the more expensive problems.
Now, Stone introduced you as a branding expert. How does branding fit into all this?
Well, branding really is a collection of perceptions in the mind of your employees, your customers, your prospects, just the general marketplace. And what my firm really focuses on is helping companies articulate what makes them different in the marketplace, which is really the core behind your brand. It's the promise you're making. This is how we're different than our competitors. So an experience with us is different than an experience with somebody else because of these reasons. A lot of people think brand is all about your logo and the colors of your logo and your mascot and your jingle and your tagline. And those things really work to get the message out to your target market, but that's not your brand.
And so, that really does bring up a good question, because it, at least my perspective has often been that maybe branding is fine for the, you know, Coke or Nike or Callaway Golf. Is this a conversation that really does have any immediate merit for the mid-sized small business?
You know, I run into that conversation quite often with CEOs and business owners of small to medium-sized businesses because they think, yeah, you know, Coke needs a brand, Nike needs a brand. You know, I don't. I'm too small to have a brand. And what I explain to them is every business has a brand. So you can either not accept that fact and not try to do anything to influence it, but you do have one. So to me, it makes a lot of sense to try to control those perceptions and influence those perceptions. And my argument to them is, you know, Coke and Nike, they spend millions and millions of dollars on advertising, you know,
mm-hmm.
print, radio, television. Small businesses don't have that kind of resources. So to me, focusing on building your brand is more important to a small business than it is a large business, because you know, Coke will pull up a billboard on, you know, downtown Atlanta, and, you know, a certain percentage of the people that drive by it will be influenced by it.
Yeah, it makes you thirsty.
Right, exactly. You know, obey your thirst, and I want a Sprite now. But small businesses can't afford a billboard downtown. They need to really focus their message on a target market. And the way to do that is really articulating what makes you different. So if you're just out there, you know, shooting wildly, it gets very expensive. So to me, the small business is better served by really focusing on their brand so that their target market knows who they are and why they should buy from them.
Are small businesses better served to be more niche-y?
I believe so.
I like that, niche-y.
Niche-y.
Or niche-y.
How's that for a tagline?
Niche-y. Niche-y. For the highbrow listeners.
I firmly believe to look at the overall target market and find a niche that you can serve better than anybody else.
So it's better to be kind of the big fish in the small pond?
Yes. A place on our website where I talk about, you know, think outside the fishbowl, and it's this whole concept of playing in a space where you don't have a lot of competitors.
Even if that means creating that space.
Right. And often it does mean creating that space, because – You know, if it's if the space is there, there's gonna often have competitors there. So yeah, just look at your whole target market, and then you know there's some areas that, that you do really better than anybody else, and focus on marketing into that particular target market.
Mm-hmm.
A great example I always use, and people who know me are probably sick of hearing this, but if you're driving down the road in a Ford truck and you need something happens, you're like, I need to pull in a mechanic. And you see on one side of the street, you see a mechanic that says, we serve all makes and models. And then across the street, you see one, we work on Ford trucks. Mm. Which one are you going to pull into? You're going to pull into the one that works on Ford trucks. And you know what? You're going to pay a price premium.
Right.
But they're the experts in fixing Ford trucks.
So being a specialist is better than being a generalist?
I believe so. I think that's really where you're able to affect the margin gap, really be able to charge a premium because you're perceived as the expert for that particular target market. Saying I always like to say is, you know, if you're, you know, if you're trying to be everything to everyone,
you're end nothing up
being,
to no one.
Well, you end up being nothing to no one.
Right.
You know, I mean, you end up trying to, you know, you're all over the place and nobody knows, well, why should I call this particular company? Whereas, like I said, if you work on Ford trucks, you know, hey, you're going to get a large percentage of the Ford truck owners.
So how do you help your client get that kind of mind share where you become the guy, you know?
Well, a lot of it is, all right, you know, doing that analysis, then figuring out, okay, what do we need to do inside our company to re-engineer our operations, what we do, our procedures, to back up that promise? So in the case of the, you know, the Ford truck example, you know, if you have mechanics that are know the insides and out of a Honda, doesn't really help you. So you would want to send them to, you know, Ford
truck training.
Exactly. you know, and look at all your operations from the point of a customer. I'm really a big proponent of whatever your brand promise is. So in this case, it would be, you know, working that we're the Ford truck company.
Right.
So everything that you do needs to back up that brand promise. So whatever, you know, internally the waiting room, the way your bay is set up for trucks pulling in, everything throughout the whole organization
is Ford truck friendly.
Right. Exactly. The last F3. Thing you yeah. you know, and it's just that's the, you know, and taking that to other businesses is really looking at, like I said, everything you're doing, does it back up and further your brand promise, or does it take away from it? And that even – we have a product we call the brand blueprint, which really is designed to get that brand promise in a document on the wall of the executive's office.
Hmm.
And that's the goal there is really that brand promise needs to serve as a filter for all the business decisions that business owner or the CEO makes. If you're whatever your brand promise is, if it comes down to, you know, phone systems, janitorial, whatever, every decision within a business, that the business owner needs to look at that brand promise and say, okay, is this decision going to further what I'm promising to my customers, or is it going to take away from it? Now you might still decide that, yeah, it takes away from it, but we're going to do it anyway. But as long as you're cognizant of that fact, that's the key. So I was using an example with Stone in an earlier conversation that if you're all about personalized service, you know, you pick up the phone, you get to talk to a person within, you know, one ring, and somebody comes and wants to sell you a phone system that's going to save you $1,000 a month, but you got to go through an automated attendant. Well, yeah, it's great to save $1,000 a month, but you're not backing up your promise anymore.
Right. It's not congruent anymore.
Exactly. Congruent's a perfect word, Lee.
What are some other mistakes that you see out there?
One of the things about the growth gaps is each of the problems that people have to actually kind of close them is each one of them has a misconception that kind of causes the gap to happen in the first place. So a big problem I typically see is if somebody comes to us and says, you know, we need help with lead generation. The common kind of first reaction is, okay, let's widen our net.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, we need more sales, we need more prospects, so let's target everybody. And in reality, the exact opposite is true. It gets back to what Lee, we were talking about before with if narrowing and focusing your market. That's if you really want more qualified prospects, the way to accomplish that goal is to narrow your target market and narrow your net instead of widening it. So that's one of those, a big mistake that I see.
And that's counterintuitive.
Exactly. You know, and most of those, you know, most or all the gaps have that counterintuitive feel to it. You were like, well, that doesn't, you know, always make a lot of sense. But when you stop and think about it and analyze it, that's it, that does make sense and it's true. And I think that's kind of the
and
problem.
And it's easier and more affordable to market to a narrower niche.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I've got the itch to niche. How about you, Lee?
Yeah.
So what else is coming up? What, do you have any upcoming events? Or?
Well, you know, we have I'm a member of Growth Answers, which is a you know, sales and marketing consortium here in Atlanta. And we have an event in November, November 18th, I believe. It's a Tuesday at the Georgian Club. You can go to growthanswers.com and go to the live learning events. And we have a great topic on viral marketing and the use of video online. Brent Brooks is going to be speaking. Great. So it should be a great, fun event for everybody.
And how can our listeners get in contact with you?
To contact with me, just go to www.tp, as in turning point, strategies.com.
TPstrategies.com. Pick up sure. Strategy Magazine. And so do they have to know some underground publisher to get
nope.
this? Or we're
going to
get it.
You can get it. It Borders and Barnes & Noble, I know for sure, and I'd imagine it's probably at most major newsstands. I'd also like to direct the listeners. You can go to my website, go to that tpstrategies.com, and then put /growth gap, all mm-hmm. one word. And there is a self-assessment, the 30-question self-assessment that
oh, great.
Readers can go through that will help them start to look at their business in a new light, and it should help uncover some issues that they maybe haven't thought of that will help them look to grow their business.
Oh, that sounds great. Say that URL one more time.
It's tpstrategies.com
mm-hmm.
/growth gap.
Oh, terrific.
And I offered, if anybody downloads that and once they fill it out, want to talk to me about it, I'm offering a free 30-minute consultation based on just to talk through the results of that self-assessment and help them get them pointed in the right direction.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Before we let you go, and you know this is coming because I gave you a little advance warning.
I do.
Here on the High Velocity Radio Show, we ask each guest, if they would, to please share a mistake they've made somewhere in their career, and really, more importantly, what they've learned from it. Would you be willing to do that for
Certainly,
me?
Stone. Our conversation here leads perfectly into this because several years ago, when I had my company did a lot of different things. In addition to the brand and strategy work, we did a lot of what I would call marketing communications work. So we did websites and brochures and mm-hmm. The traditional marketing tactics. Well, this was before the name of the company was Turning Point Strategies, and we didn't follow our own philosophy of focusing. So we were, we had the staff, we could do it. So we did all these marketing communications projects while also trying to do strategic branding projects. And there were two distinct target markets with two distinct messages. And we were trying to do this at the same time because, we thought we could. And what we found over time was that the marketplace was confused. Nobody knew who we were. And our attention was pulled in all different directions. So while we were kind of thinking we could grow both sides of the business, what we found is neither side was growing because we were, our attention was all over the place. The marketplace didn't understand who we were. So what I really learned is what I teach my clients is about focusing on a target market. What I learned is to listen to myself and treat myself as a client. So we decided to rebrand ourselves as Turning Point Strategies. We dropped the marketing communications work. So
yeah,
the message is really, I think, learning to focus. Pick something or a series of services that you're really good at. Find a target market that needs that product or service. Build a message specific to that target market, and then go after them like crazy.
And so now you're out there pitching the niche.
Right, exactly. real estate's all about location, location, location. I mm-hmm. believe growing your business and sales and marketing brain is all about focus, focus, focus.
Oh, so well said. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thanks, Stone.
Can you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Most certainly, Stone.
Terrific.